deal. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show. Brother Tisdale is with us. Oh, I see Mike Ward, a.k.a. Mad Mike, Dr. Brother Reverend Rudolph Demery, and Ann Taylor is here. Now, Cece, I'm going to have to send her a notice here, okay? Yeah, she's been, okay.
Delinquent?
Yeah, often. So we're going to have to talk. I'm going to talk about her. As a matter of fact, I know Ann is going to deliver the message. I know she will. And yes, that's right. I'm throwing your sister under the bus. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll take notes.
I know you are. Hey, let's get back to this last song panel. That's Brother Danny Tisdale. You guys know him.
Awesome.
I know him personally. I had a chance of sitting next to this gentleman in the meal course at New Hope. He taught me a lot, and what an artist. Guys know about Wayman Tisdale. Man, good Lord. I've got to ask you about that too, Danny. Wayman Tisdale, that's his brother. Great, great, great music. He has a different sound coming out of that. Is that the bass that he's playing?
Yes, it is. He plays bass, and he played an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And he also did a lot of vocals.
Well, you know, I tell you, he has a different sound. When his music starts playing, I know exactly who it is. I don't have to be looking at it.
Yeah.
He has a unique sound.
Well, that is technique and the way that he actually establish his sound is the way that Wayman plays, you know, with his thumb mostly.
Okay.
And then it was a different set of strings that he would use on the bass guitar to give him that lead bass flavor.
Yeah. Magnificent, magnificent stuff, man. This song, Softly Calling, I want to talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get into the gist of the show. I like to start off with good stuff before we get into the hard stuff here right now, okay? Softly Calling, what inspired you to write that?
Well, sometimes, you know, in our lives, we find ourselves in some dark places sometimes, in some lonely places. Mm-hmm. And there were times in my life when I would be reaching for understanding of life, and many times we misconstrue who's doing what. A lot of times, a lot of people want to say, oh, the devil did this, the devil did that, but many times God is in the midst of a lot of things that we experience. So that song was given to me late one night, and I heard God calling to me, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, He's going to protect us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that song kind of gives tribute to
that. Amen.
Amen. So
when you listen to his still, small voice, because God doesn't always yell at you.
No.
He will speak in a very soft tone and a very soft voice. But you got to be spiritual enough to get yourself and life out of the way.
All right.
You can hear what he's saying.
Right, right. Well, thank you for that, and we're going to get into that too. I see Dr. Sims is there. You okay?
You still going to talk about her now that she showed up?
Oh yeah, I'm going.
You got something to say?
Yeah, it's 6:04 and 3:04 on the West Coast. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it still. And I know you two going to gang up on me, and I don't care. That's right.
You know what? I came with you today. I prayed before I got on here to deal with you. Don't mess with me.
Well, you know that's not.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, she's ignoring me. Okay. Yeah. Hi.
That's right.
How you doing?
I ignore what try to disturb my world for a minute.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm using wisdom.
Uh huh. Yeah. We'll get to you in a second. We were just talking.
No, you won't.
Yes, we will. I mean, we going around the... Oh, she got the hand up. Can you believe that?
Talk to it.
You're lucky it was a hand.
Come on, girl.
Shoot. So, Dr. Sim, we were having a little dialogue, with Brother Danny Tisdale. We were playing one of his songs called Softly Calling. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Okay. And I didn't want you to miss it. That's why I, you know, that's one of the reasons why.
Okay. Anyway. Your information.
Uh-huh. No, but actually.
I've been.
Go on.
Yes.
No, please. I'll step aside. I'll yield.
Thank you so much. I had the pleasure of playing some of Danny's songs on my Bible study.
Amen.
Aww.
And so, like when I believe in something, I promote it heavily. So, you know, that's what we do for each other, right?
Absolutely. So
I'm just scaring everybody to go, because I know when you get hits, it's beneficial for whoever the artist is or the instructor or whoever. So, yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen.
Music. I'm going to still do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, so will I, because on my program on Sundays, because we play gospel music starting at 10 a.m. right here on the East Coast. And it's a little early on the West, but Mike is up with the horses. So 7 a.m. on the West. Dr. Dimmer is up because he's getting ready for church. And let's see, at 10 a.m., 9 a.m., where Ann is, Central Standard Time, 9 a.m., Danny Tisdale also. Like I said, 10 a.m. here, 7 p.m. on the West, 9 a.m. Central, and 8 a.m. Let's see, 8 a.m., what is it, Standard, Central Time? 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. No, Mountain Time. I'm getting my times all mixed up. Somebody help me out.
What time zone are you talking about?
Name okay, okay, let's go. Okay, on the East Coast, it's 10 a.m. Okay, Central Standard Time is 9 a.m.
Well, which show, William?
We're talking about the Gospel Explosion. And if you listen sometime, you would know what show I'm talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So,
let me slip a little straighter. Right now, I was pulling you out so that I could share the broadcast across the social media platform.
Okay.
But then I heard you do what you normally do, and that's messed something up. Uh-oh. So I tried to tune back in to help you, and then you want to get nasty.
No, I'm not nasty. No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nasty. Yes, you're nasty. Yes, right.
Oh, see, I knew they were going to start something. I am never nasty.
Right. I'm gonna let you believe that while I finish.
Yeah, but you put that on your own resume. Nobody else added to it.
Uh huh. Right, okay. Right. I see both of you are fired up after being off last week.
Well, you
Know what, William?
What?
Don't even try it, because you canceled it the week prior to that, and so
no.
And then you had the nerve to get smart.
What you mean I canceled?
When I called you about it. Wow. Yeah, you did. You canceled it 2 hours prior to the session because I got ready and I said, William, what happened? You said, well, I could cancel like you canceled. I'm like, wait.
I didn't say that. Oh, Lord, she's making up stuff now. Okay. Can I go to another one of Danny Tisdale's songs?
Pray for the brother.
You probably need to do that.
Yeah. This one is called He Knows. Okay, let's do that. Oh, my goodness. Well, you see what I have to deal with.
I didn't know I was tuning into a hockey game.
And the girls are
people getting slammed up against the boards.
Right, losing teeth.
Oh, it's vicious here.
He'll talk to crazy.
Sits high and he looks down low. The creator of this world, he sees and he knows. He promised never to leave or forsake us. Just follow his lead. He knows just where to take us. He knows.
He knows what you've been through.
Then he promised me. To tell you about this omnipotent one who holds the world in the palm of his hand. If we only follow
God's master plan. Victory lies throughout this barren land. We've got to trust, trust and never doubt. 'Cause I believe he can bring you up. He knows our God of Jacob and those three Hebrew boys. In that fiery furnace, they were protected from the scorch. He knows.
He knows what you've been through.
He knows.
He promised to see you through.
And I heard him say one day
that he will never leave.
Oh Lord, I thank you.
He knows just what you need.
He can flash the lightning across this land. He can part the water for you to cross on dry land. My God holds the key to the master plan. He watches over his word to perform it for every man. God is the key to my salvation. He's the ruler of this nation. Those three Hebrew boys in that fiery furnace, protected from the scorch. He can flash the lightning across this land. He can hold the world in the palm of his hand. He knows, yes he does.
From the album, A Long Time Coming. All right, Mr. Danny Tisdale. Hey, welcome back.
Well,
this
Danny's
is
got
the...
some chops on him.
Man.
He's got a great voice, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been out for a while, and I just hope the messages get to the hearts of many. That
Amen.
They know that God is with us no matter what we go through.
Amen. Amen. You know, as a matter of fact, the album is A Long Time Coming. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it's available on, let us know how we can get that album, Danny.
You know, for the most part, it's with social media, there's so much hacking and different things that happen. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even with this particular album, before I could even get it out of the studio, somebody had hacked into it.
So wow.
Even
wow.
though it's set up on the platform, just like the other doctor was talking about his book and how people got mm-hmm. into it. And,
right.
And got it. I've done what I know to do to try mm-hmm. to get it corrected, but get in touch with Apple Music mm-hmm. and to find the right people to connect with. To get everything straightened out has been a real challenge.
I know that's
yeah.
right. I know that's
but
right, brother.
My thing is this. At least somebody, if they so desire to hear the music, can get the message in the music.
Right.
So that's what's important.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, and the panel, let's go around the panel because the reason why I'm playing Danny's songs here because mm-hmm. The topic that's coming up is racism in America. And we're going to address and talk about those whose aim is to divide us. So I wanted to come in with something that will be uplifting, so we're going to know how to deal with some of these challenges. And Mike, I think one of the best ways, and on our show, Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast, we talk about the power of music and messages and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so let's go around the panel and let's talk about this, because we'll get into the main subject shortly. Mike?
Well, it's been something I've seen throughout my life and have fought throughout my life because I was raised correctly. And I don't like this. I don't like the divide that continues to occur, even though I think things have gotten somewhat better from when I was a little kid. But there's still a long way to go with this ongoing divide where we're pitting one person against each other or another. Sometimes man will find a way to stand on their brother's neck. And I'll give you an example that was given to me many, many, many years ago. It's Ireland. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a race reason to stand on somebody's neck. They did it because of religion. You had the Protestants versus the Catholics, and they were blowing each other up and killing each other. They probably still are to some degree. Mm-hmm. So here's an example where the divide wasn't created by color or by where they came from, but they found a way to fight each other based on religion alone. And it, my understanding, and there's a lot more learned people than me with regard to religion that are on this panel, but my understanding of religion is it's the battle of good versus evil. Mm. All good religions are the battle of good versus evil. And if I'm wrong, please, any one of you correct me, but churches, by the nature of their existence, are supposed to support that good and to fight the evil and the negativity in our culture. And yet in Ireland, they found a way to just blow each other up over because they were slightly different in their religious background.
Yeah. So, wow. Right. Dr. Dimmer, are you comment?
Well, I would say, you know, for the bit.
Can't hear you.
At all?
Break I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I would say very good.
No, you're breaking up. Do us a favor. Log out and log back in. Okay.
Lean into your mic.
Yeah, that might help. Lean in a little bit closer if you can.
Yeah, how's that?
Okay, let's see.
I can hear you.
Is that a little better?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. It's very effective.
No, it's not better. Not better. Log back in, Dr. Dimmer. We'll be back to you, okay? Dr. Sims?
I was listening to Danny, and, you know, when we talk about racism within, I have to go to within my own people because it is what it is. My thing is I was studying something, and it made a lot of sense. When I look at the American people, we are a melting pot. Then when I look at immigrants that come over, and they will come into certain neighborhoods and establish their America. And the reason why I'm saying that is that we have, and it's a known fact, and I don't have a prejudice bone in my body, but however, they will come into, say, they will come into a black community, and they will come in and establish their businesses. And they will, because America, they come over to get rich and get better than what they've come from, because of the freedom over here. But we within our own culture, we come against each other. We pull each other down, and we like to look at racism outside of. But my wheelhouse is that we need to get together. When I look at each culture within themselves, there is unification. And so I'm finding out a lot of the disunification is within my own people. And that's where I have a problem, is when they can come in and into our communities. I mean, it's a freedom of country, you can establish your businesses wherever you desire. But when you come in and they can be cohesive together and be successful, but we as a people are stabbing each other in the back as a black culture, are stabbing each other in the back and preventing various ones from getting, you know, being beneficial in their giftings. It just overwhelms me sometimes. And I believe that why can't we get it together? What is it? We've been taught to, and I believe down through the eons of times, we've been pitted against each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's not good, and then that causes us not to be successful. You have many that will get out of that confines, and it is far few and in between. There's a whole heck of a lot more of us that need to be successful. Mm-hmm. But if we need to stop coming against each other and rebuild really our communities, okay? Mm-hmm. And rebuild, when we get cohesive together and stop thinking somebody's going to do this and somebody's going to do that. I think the paranoia is what's stopping a lot of us. It's paranoia about what you think and what you think should be and what you think should not be. But I think if we just put our hands to the wheel, everybody could benefit. As our other cultures, you have Little China. I'm looking at their cities. They established a city within America. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at various cultures coming over. They establish a confines, a city within their, within America, but they've come over to be successful, but they've come over to be successful in many cases off the backs of many of us, because we can't seem to get it together.
Well, my take on that, and a lot of what you're saying I find to be true. I think that I want to take a different take on that, because if you look at, you can Google this, black businesses across America. There are many. There are many black professionals. We're talking about PhDs. We're talking about doctors. We're talking about lawyers. We're talking about, hold on, hear me out. Entrepreneurs, business owners, and things like that. Could it be that the media is feeding us a false narrative in a lot of cases? Okay. Yeah, we're going to get, hold on. No. Good. And, but you made valid
points. I'm agreeing with you.
You made valid points because they do not tell us about the many successful black entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, scientists, engineers, and things of that nature. Right? Because, look at the panel here. All of us have had some successes, or may be deemed successful and on the way to be successful in our lives. So what I'm saying to you, and Mike and I, we have many, many, many conversations about this. See, the devil's job is to divide and conquer. So, and the information that you get in a lot of cases, because the information that you're getting, where are you getting it? It's not, and where am I getting it? It's not necessarily that I'm going around and witnessing these things. It's because I'm getting it off of the media, and they have one job. Mike and I talked about this, and this what can stir the pot and what can bring in the most money, okay? And they sensationalize a lot of situations that aren't true. And we're going to play something for you shortly. Dr. Sims, your points are well taken, and you're right. All of us could do better, but you have evil, you have poor, you have rich. In any society around the world, it doesn't matter. You can't leave out a culture. As a matter of fact, if you look back at our culture is rich. Okay? However, you have certain divisive people, or divisive, however you want to announce it, they want us to think that's why they're stripping us. That's why they don't want us to know our history. That's why they don't want us to know about the accomplishments. That's why if you take down in Florida, and I tell you what, if I had a child that wanted to look into a university, it would not be in the state of Florida. Mm-mm. I'm going to tell you that right now. No. See, you have to understand, please understand what's going on. Dr. Dimmitt, let's hear from you now.
Can you hear me okay now?
Now, you sound pretty good now.
Oh, much nicer.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that I was going to say before, very inceptive.
No, you're not better. You're not better at all. Okay.
How about now?
Okay, let's try it.
Give it a shot.
Is that a little better now?
Okay. No,
sir. Why it's not coming through? I don't understand what's happening.
I don't.
Okay. There you go. You're fine right there.
Is in California. The weather is not that great.
How about now?
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, let's try it.
Okay, how about that? You can test it 1 through 3. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what I was going to say, from the very inception, when the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, as we know, Plymouth Rock didn't land on the fact that they found it. Plymouth Rock fell on the Native Americans. Hmm. And from the very inception, this country has always been about race. People don't want to admit that. That's one of the reasons why what's happening in Florida is because they're trying to deny truth. Fact things were. This country's always been about race, and it'll always be about race. First it was with the Native Americans, then it
was with the African Americans. Then it was with the Chinese. Then it was with the Irish. Then it was with the other races. But it has always been the immigration today in this country, in the past, in the future, and what's going on right now will always be about race. They don't tell you that, but it is about race. And one of the things that America does not want to admit, and the chickens come home, the chickens come home to roost. One of the reasons why they are denying the fact why there was 12 million slaves killed in the Northwest Passage. It was about money. The Catholic Church, Pope Pius VI, was involved in slavery. The Catholic Church doesn't want to admit that. They try to hide that in their history. Pius is not, if you're Catholic, don't take my word for it. Go look it up in the history. Pope Pius invested in slavery because the Catholic Church was going bankrupt and they needed money. They needed a source of revenue. Don't take my word for it. Well, this fool don't know what he's talking about. Go look it up. Go look it up. History is saying Pope Pius X, the head of one of the largest religions in this world, was invested in slavery, and that is a shame and a mockery. The Christian nationalists today, now, their agenda is about race. Has nothing to do with Protestantism or Catholicism. It has to do with race. And I'll shut up.
No, and you know what? Thank you so much. I'm glad that we've got a connection because you always have something to say and it's valuable. Because Dr. Dimmer, you also said several years ago, and you remember that, the most racist day in this country is on Sundays.
Sunday morning.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Sundays.
That's true.
Oh!
Dr.
Sims, you want to say something? Then let's go to Ann, and then to Danny, and back to Mike, okay? In that order, please.
Listen, I have walked to some places just wanting to visit, you know.
Oh, my God.
Want to see, because
I got to turn up the AC.
Whatever. I knew you were going to pull me in on this. Anyway, wanted to see what's on the inside of the building because names are profitable, names are good, but I was just taught to go in and see the content, what's in the building. And at the door, I met with, and I read body language and I'm not that sensitive, okay? But you know when a person is showing their
true colors,
true self, and not really looking at you like, what are you doing here?
Well, mm-hmm.
My eyes talk too, and see, I have to be careful with that because it's like this is supposed to be God's house,
right?
I thought we're all supposed to be serving the one Lord, and so from what I'm studying, He has no color; He's not color biased, and so. If you're ministering, why is there racism inside this building when one on the other side of your mouth, you're speaking love and unity and being together and just loving regardless, but you never disclose that, say, Spanish is not better than Afro-American or Japanese or what have you, but you show those differences and I was made to feel very uncomfortable, should I say. Okay. And me, I'm a radical praiser because I've been through radical stuff. And, you know, I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to say hallelujah. And I'm going to praise the Lord. And they look at me like, really? Really? You got to go that deep? Okay.
Well, you were lucky because a lot of Caucasian churches, especially in the South, the role of the deacon, they take turns. They post up outside to stop black people from trying to enter the church.
Is that crap still going on?
It still goes on where it's just like sundown towns are still a thing. There's places, here in Arkansas, one of my friends, she did breast cancer screenings. And so she went to Northwest Arkansas. I won't say exactly where, but people in the know where I'm talking about. And she said she helped this one particular lady, and the woman was really nice. She said, you know what? I like you. You're really nice. But you know, you don't need to be here when the sun goes down. And she's like, yes, ma'am, I'm on my way out. I mean, that's just the, and we're talking about in the 2020s, you know, I mean, you know, the 2000s that this is happening. Not necessarily the 2020s, might have been 2017 or something to that effect, but it shouldn't still be happening. And, you know, to go back to something else that you said, Dr. Sims, it's a lot deeper than just Black people hating Black people. Mm-hmm. You have to literally go back into the structure of slavery in America. When I say structure, there was a dynamic to the entire thing. For instance, there was a reason why the darker slaves were left in the field and the lighter slaves were brought to the house. True. There was a reason, you know, why there was one slave who was put in charge of all the other slaves and basically was, in a lot of instances, worse than the slave masters themselves, because he'd been given just this little bit of authority, treated just a little bit better. And then when you add to that, them intentionally pitting, slaves against one another, tearing up any semblance of family. As soon as anybody attempted to have something that resembled a family, intentionally selling the husband or selling the wife or selling their children. It's a wonder that we're doing as well as we are. when you think about how that played out for centuries over and over and over again. So while things are definitely nowhere near perfect, they are better in the sense that we have a, you know, cohesive family units that can look back generations. And, you know, when you get together for family reunions and you see, you know, so many people together that can claim to be one family unit. We may not be able to tell you from what tribe in Africa we hail from, but we're starting, we have over the last century or so started to be able to develop familial ties that stay together. And it's sad to say that this has occurred in like the last 100-150 years, you know, since slavery was abolished, because before that was one way to dehumanize people, to treat you like a litter of puppies. As soon as you have a kid, we ship it off to somebody who wants, you know, who wants a new slave to own. You know, it's that type of thing. So it's a blessing that we are doing as well as we are in so many respects. But I admit we do have quite a ways to go in terms of the color-struck attitude. You still have some people who worry about skin color, including in families. You know, some one person can be more partial to a child because the child has lighter skin, or even vice versa. You know, we have some people who are more partial to darker skinned people. It just depends. You know, getting the shackles off the brain in some respects is a lot harder than taking them off physically. I think the Clarence Thomases of the world are proof of that. But anyway. Right. I think Brother Tisdale's turn. What do you like to add, Brother Tisdale?
I would say, in piggybacking on many of the truths that have been stated by all that have spoken, until we can get to a point where we will recognize the truth from fiction
and
things that are going on. Mm-hmm. I was in the doctor's office the other day and was talking with a nurse. And she said this, a young Caucasian woman. Mm-hmm. And she said, if you'd have asked her 20 years ago if we would be where we are now, she said she never would have thought of it. Mm-hmm. Which I understand that. And then I met a church I'm visiting. It's this is a senior pastor, Caucasian man, mm. and he's been put out of two of his churches because he could tell the truth about the racist existence of the supremacy mindset that existed in the church.
Wow.
He taught one Sunday, when, the, George Floyd thing happened. Mm-hmm. They asked him to step down from the church.
Wow. Wow.
This was not too long ago. But my thing is this. The black neighborhoods that exist in this country because of redlining and whatever they call it, through the banking industry, these places still are lying in ruin. You couldn't even get the banks to give you money to on a fair loan to even upgrade what needs to happen at your house.
Right.
They just removed a lot of red lines, I think even last year or this year. They started removing the red circles in certain communities. So this is all by design. I agree to a certain extent with what Dr. Sims is saying. We could work a lot better in unity in our world. But because we have enough athletes that have millions and millions of dollars, but without unity, without them understanding how to come together and invest back into their neighborhoods, all they do is buy expensive cars and houses that create in the nick of time. They got a whole bunch of cars, a whole bunch of dogs, a whole bunch of furs, a whole bunch of diamonds, a whole bunch of useless stuff. Who do you think gets the benefit of that?
Right.
We own diamond companies and jewelry stores and automobiles, you know what I'm saying? We're working toward it, but we still are resilient people, and we are one of the most forgivingest cultures in all America. We are very forgiving.
Right.
Yep. But like you say, we are strong, and we still will succeed as long as we keep God in the plan.
Amen. Amen. I think I heard William. Did you say something, William?
I was listening to this dialogue, and I'm loving it, and you guys are doing great. I'm going to step aside, and thank you so much for all of your comments. And then, Mike, what do you have?
Sir.
Your take on this whole...
It's very interesting you brought up something that I recognize even within my race, is that people will find a way to stand on the necks of their brothers for any reason whatsoever. And sometimes it's social economic, especially with white. The wealthier white people will look down their nose at the poorer white people. And it's interesting to see that you guys are talking about the same thing with the black race and maybe the lighter or darker skin and such. So they always find a way. I call these people, I say they have a hole in their soul. And the only way they can feel good about themselves is by standing on the necks of others. And I think we see that inner race and certainly outside of our individual races.
Absolutely.
William and I talk about this all the time, and I'm pretty sure we brought it up here on Boomerang, which is...
If I could add one thing right there, Mike.
Please.
When you look at the striking actors and you look at Hollywood and look at design and how corporations do not want to give the people that enable them to have golden parachutes, it's greed.
Yep.
And capitalism is a system to me. That somebody's foot is going to be on somebody's neck. It's just square down the line, or you have all the way down the line. It's more weight on you. You know what I'm saying? But that's what capitalism is set up.
Absolutely.
There's a whole pecking order there that exists, again, inside and outside your own race. But William and I always talk about this, and we're not to judge people. You know, that's God's purpose, is to judge others.
Amen.
However, I can have an opinion about you, but my opinion should never be based on your religion, your race, where you came from, none, right, or your economic background. My opinion of you should be based on what I like to really get down to the nitty gritty, which is good versus evil. I will judge people or look at people and go, you know, that's a good person because look at all that they're doing in society and they don't have hate in their heart. And then I look at other people and go, that is a nasty, mean, evil SOB. But I never do it based on, and I don't think any of us should do it based on what I mentioned already, their social economic background, their race, their religion, yeah, what country they originally came from, who they were born to. If you break it all down to good versus evil, it gets very simple and very easy real quick. And Martin Luther King said, not the color of their skin, but the content of their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to push forward because I think that's a solid base for if you're going to like somebody or dislike somebody, do it on the content of their character and good at, and do it on whether they fall in the bracket of good or evil.
Right. Yep. Right.
Can I say something? Right,
yes,
here?
You can. Yes, you can. Can we address something that Dan and Tizzy said, and I'll go directly to you, Dr. Sim. I promise. Danny, I think you hit the nail on the head. Hmm. One word, greed. And just like Mike brought it up also, that the same discrimination that we are facing across the board is the same discrimination that goes on in each and every race. And the people with the money, okay, they were called, like you say, the white people who have money, they look down on poor white people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to get back to the media.
Uh-oh.
What is the media's play in this? They show all of the disparaging things about black people for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess that we are an easy target in some cases. But folks, let's forget that people within their own races hate other people in their own races.
Yep, and it ain't just black people, it ain't just white
it
people.
Ain't, that's exactly.
It's all evil, though.
Is it all
it's
evil?
All evil, that's what it is.
It's all. Go on, Dr. Sims. I'm sorry, I promised you the platform. Dr. Sims?
I just wanted to, and I'm piggybacking on everybody else, but I have to get back to some church folks. And the reason why I'm not going to go way in.
Go in. Anyway, go way in. I don't care.
Wait a minute.
Let's throw people under the bus.
You know what? Where I received the call, you know, and Anne said it best, we have diversities of skin tones and what have you. And that's been a history of teaching, pitting people, African Americans against other Afro Americans. Now, my skin is fair. My mom is fair. She could pass for a Caucasian woman.
Wow. It
just so happened in my DNA, I have a Caucasian in my DNA. I have, you know, I'm a mutt. I'll just say like that. All of that.
We all are in America.
But my skin tones and my sons, when I birthed my two sons, they were fairer than I was, or am. And so, when the nurse brought me my babies, they called my name and I said, here I am. They looked down at my baby and looked at me. And I said, you know what? Bring me my baby like that. But my daughter was a little chocolate drop. Okay. With almond eyes. Now here's what the kicker was. As long as we've been, my son's a pastor, as long as we've been going to that church, I received a call from one of the members questioned me about the validity of my daughter being birthed. I was married to one man. And all my children are by that one man. Mm. And she questioned because my daughter's a little chocolate drop and my boy's, you know, kind of fair skin. Mm. And so she says, well, I was just wondering. I said, first of all, you know, none of your business. Sugar cakes, okay? And so if you want to carry a bone, let me tell you something. And I just went through my history and I'm not going to go through all that because somebody's mouth would drop. But anyway.
Go ahead.
I had one man. I was a virgin when I got married. Didn't know nothing about nothing. So let me tell you something. My baby's about one man. I didn't play the field. I didn't do all that. Right. And I said, first of all, let me share something with you, boo-boo. I said, because if you look in your own house, you got a brother black as the ace of spades, okay? So don't you come over here. messing up in my house. You better go visit your neighborhood and find out what's been in the woodpile, babies, because something's off that way. I said, if I want to really go and define some things, see, I'm the right one for them to mess with.
Right.
And see, my daughter looks just like me, but the ignorant thing that people will do will plant a seed in somebody's mind.
Right,
and make
right.
them feel like they are less than because they are not the same color and what have you. She looks like me. Okay. My right. thing is, you know, and I thought, and my daughter said, mommy, I said, no. I told my children, you just as beautiful. I don't care what shade of color you in. But when you look at my family, I have Blackfoot in my family. I have African American Indians in my family. They so dark you couldn't hardly see them if they didn't grin. I'm just being real. Okay. I'm being real. But they still my people.
That's right.
Exactly.
The bloodline is still my bloodline. It's just so happened my mom was fair, but it's nonetheless, it did not change the bloodline. And that's the ignorance that people are operating on. And that's what spews division.
That's
within
right.
families. I had some sisters. Well, okay. I better hush because
I'll just say, put it like
calling
this.
Me up.
I understand how that works because I had to tell Andre when we got married. I'm like, look, when we have kids, I can't promise you what we will get. I just want you to know on the front end. And I say that because my great grandfather, his biological father was a white man and his biological mother was half white. He married a dark-skinned black woman who was part Native American.
Okay.
So when you look at their offspring, my grandmother, she was very fair with long hair. And then you have every shade of brown in between of their offspring. Then you get my grandmother who married a very dark-skinned black man. And all of us look, I mean, completely different. You got my mom, who was dark skinned, and then you've got me and my sister, who's lighter than I am. And so we have cousins who grew up like people think that you're our mom's kids because their mom was light skinned. She married a dark skinned man. They take after their dad. It's like, well, but my dad was lighter than my mom. So we're kind of in the middle. Kate, and I say that to say this, one of my cousins who was complaining, you know, that people thought that my sister and I were her mom's kids. Well, she's dark. She married a dark-skinned man. They had a baby. First one looked just like them, same skin tone. Second baby came out red as fire with freckles and red hair.
Boom.
The man went ballistic at the doggone hospital because he just knew he didn't have a light-skinned kid with freckles and red hair. And to this day, she's still looks like she looks just like her dad otherwise. But, and I told my husband, I'm like, look, I can't tell you what is going to happen. There is so much going on DNA wise in here. Because my grandfather had light eyes. So some of us, I have a cousin right now, a little cousin with blue eyes. She's beautiful, but she got
is.
Blue eyes like my great grandfather. And then other people get hazel eyes. You know, it goes in between. Our youngest son, Alex, for a while, his eyes were gray when he was born. But as you know, with people with lighter shades of eye, lighter shade of eye colors, it doesn't settle right away. So you have to wait to see what it's going to be. Thankfully, they are now brown. But I say that to say this, that is what America is supposed to be. I mean, we are the living embodiment of that quote unquote melting pot.
That's right.
Memories. Families like that, Dr. Sims families like that, my family's like that. But you have these people who want a homogenous society. And I'm sorry, you might need to move to Russia. You might need to move, you know, to somewhere where they have that because that's not here.
That's
and
right.
it's not going to be here even if you do create this autocracy because there's still going to be a lot of people around here with black and brown skin. It's just the way that it is. Still be a lot of Asians here because that's just the way America is over hundreds and hundreds of years, we have blended together. And I think that is the fear that we were getting closer to being united, when all of us could come together and vote in a black man, who, by the way, had a white mother and a black father. And he was the embodiment of what America is supposed to be. And then you turn around and you've got a vice president who's the same. She's got a African-American, an African father who's from the Caribbean. Then her mother is from India. Indonesia. And she is an American. They are immigrants. Their daughter is black. She is now the vice president of the United States of America. And she's married to a white man.
Come on.
This scares those people. Same thing with Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Right.
That's a sister if there ever was one with those braids. And she's married to a white man with mixed skin. I'm just saying.
Right.
It's true.
I'm just saying.
And you know, and you're right. You're so right. And what's wrong with it? Folks, look.
Nothing.
Nobody's supposed to tell you who to love. Right. Nobody has that right because you are one person, right? Mm-hmm. All of us on this panel, we are individual people. And God gave us a gift of life. And we should have the freedom of doing and marrying or associating with whoever we want to. But see, I'm going to tell you, there's a problem with people. And I'm going back to the media and social media and all this propaganda that's going out here, that's throwing all these false narratives out here. Unfortunately, there are too many people that have bought into this false narrative. I'm going to go to Dr. Demery. But Dr. Demery, I have to go back to what I said originally. You can't conquer a society unless you divide a society.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That does not happen. Dr. Demery, I'd like to have your take on that. I'm going to just leave it alone for a second.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Okay. Let's go.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here's a couple of things. To address what Dr. Simmons is talking about, if you haven't read it, some of you have heard of it, I think, and there's a book called The Color of Black Folk.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not read that, you need to read it because it goes into detail about all this stuff that we're talking about. Copy of it for somebody.
You're breaking up. And turn your... Yeah,
how about now?
Yeah, that's better. You talk that
way. I think he's just overdriving the mic on his phone, and that's why when he turns it away, we can hear him better.
How about now? Is that okay?
Yeah, great. Better.
Okay. So in this book, it talks about the exact same thing, goes in much more in depth in a scientific approach to what Dr. Simms is talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always dated dark-skinned black women because that's my preference. You know, the darker the blood, the sweeter the juice.
right.
From my perspective. But, you know, and I was always called, they teased me because they said, well, you're pea color, you know.
Hmm.
But because I happen to be, I'm not really light-skinned and I'm not a red bone, but I'm more kind of like a brown Native American color because
caramel
runs through my veins. And then the other issue that we need to address here, the fact of the matter is, I'm addressing where Mike was coming from earlier. Mike, you were surprised that this kind of stuff still goes on. Mike, you can go down to certain places in Mississippi. Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, and because I know you're from the South and you know the South well. Alabama, Louisiana. You can walk up and down those trails. You can go back to those little country churches, and you guys have heard me say this analogy before, and I speak in allegory and parable sometimes. When you walk up and down the rows of those little churches, you can still hear the baying of hounds. They're on the trail of runaway slaves.
Wow.
I know I'm allegorically speaking, but it is true. Mm. It is absolutely true. And I think we cannot deny the fact that those things still go on. Mm-hmm. Not yesterday, not in the future, but they happen right now. And I say the same thing that I said before. The Christian nationalists and all those groups that think like they do, and yes, they call themselves Christians on the outside.
They do.
But on the inside, they really are, they're shepherd of the devil.
Mm.
They're shepherd of the devil because of the fruit that they yield.
Mm.
They're not
yielding love. They're not yielding forgiveness.
Amen.
They're not yielding compassion. They're Preach. Not yielding how to be humble, but they're spewing poison, and they're spewing, just like I said before, a couple of weeks ago, when that first seal opens up, what does that first seal in Revelation say in chapter 3? Death and destruction.
All right.
The horseman, when he opens that first seal, it says death and destruction. And that's just the beginning, y'all.
Amen. That's Amen. It. Hey, I'm going to share something with the audience right now. And then I'm going to go to a very interesting, I have a couple of clips I want to play. Okay, before the show is over. And we want to talk about this thing. And I was listening to a couple of broadcasts, that I saw earlier this week. And before I get into that, let me just do this right now. And I'm going to address this. Okay. This guy, I don't want to give him a lot of attention because to me, I would like to say he's irrelevant, but no, he's relevant to the fact because he is spreading just garbage. Some of you may have heard of this guy by the name of Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst people on the planet. I'm going to say to Charlie Kirk, if you're listening, call me. I don't care. Okay. I got something to tell you. Well, okay, no, seriously. I'm serious about this. I am dead serious about this. I'll talk to him, and I would love, I'm not sure whether I'm going to have him on the Boomerang or not, but I would love to come over one of his platforms.
There's some people that I should not. No.
I really don't want that poison on this network, but I'd be glad to come on his network and debate him anytime.
Oh, he's not going to call you.
You know, because he doesn't want this. Okay.
Oh, listen, man.
No, you think I'm joking? Let me turn on my camera so you can see my face. He doesn't want this. I'm going to tell you what he said. This imbecile, he brought up names like Joy Reid that's on MSNBC. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. He brought up Michelle Obama. He brought up Ketanji. Is it Brown Jackson?
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yeah. Who else did I leave out? Oh, and Congressman Sheila Lee. Black congressman. Okay. Okay. Anyway.
That name's not familiar to me.
These ladies, all of them went to Ivy League schools. And they are accomplished, more than I have, individuals. Okay, Michelle Obama, I think she graduated cum laude, all right?
Highly intelligent.
Highly.
Very much so.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, she graduated the top of her class, okay? Sheila Jackson Lee graduated cum laude. Joy Reid on MSNBC graduated cum laude, and some of these are magna cum laudes or whatever. Cum laude is good enough for me, all right? I'm just saying.
You just know it's got a cum and a latte.
That's good enough.
More than
let me tell you where I'm going with this. This complete knucklehead buffoon had the nerve because Joy Reid made a program ahead. She was responding to this out of control, non-compliant Supreme Court that we have that struck down things that are hurting our educational system, you know, as far as affirmative action and so on. And this knucklehead had nerve enough to say, Joy said, you know, affirmative action helped her.
Right.
To get into school. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, keep in mind where she placed in the school. She didn't only just attend the school, she excelled.
Right.
To the top of her class.
And wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise.
That's right. And so that's what she was trying to come across. But this, okay, all right, I can't cuss on this show. But anyway, this knucklehead, okay, this, and you know, and we talked about this before, right? And sometimes, you know, you just want to just come out with it, right? But I know
just
I can't.
Just want to shake them.
He had the nerve to say that they weren't smart enough otherwise.
Oh,
I said, what? Now check out him. He dropped out of junior college. He dropped out, or he didn't even finish what community college. And he had the nerve to disparage